Join us now for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstensen. Here's the message.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Daddy. What a precious young man the Beatty's have in Joshua and in Aaron as well. What a wonderful update. I think it would be very appropriate for us to pray, and specifically pray for Joshua and his team. And I don't think there's anybody more equipped to pray for him next to his daddy than his spiritual grandfather. So, Grandpa, would you stand and pray for Joshua? We have a microphone right here. I think it'll be easier to hear. Pastor Fowler, you're just so, you know, you just roll with the flow. Clint never bothers you. You have it. You still got moxie.
Let's just pray for this group. I will tell you that Chi Alpha is an extremely important ministry to college students, especially those Chi Alpha groups that go after the students on campus that kind of have no friends. And if there's anything a college student needs, it's a friend. And it's a powerful tool of winning individuals to the Lord and seeing them through college. And so as this Chi Alpha group from Texas Tech goes up to West Virginia to establish that group there, let's just be praying for them, not only tonight, but during the time they're there, and then remember that group that's freshly planted there. Father, we just thank you for Joshua and his commitment to you. We thank you, Father, that we have an opportunity of partnering with this ministry of the Texas Tech Chi Alpha ministry as they go there to West Virginia to help that fledgling group begin. God, I'm believing for a work of your Holy Spirit this week. I pray especially, oh God, for that outreach on St. Patrick's Day, that there will be many that will come to that event, that they would just find friendship in those people that are there, these other students, oh God. Lord, that they would become a part of that group and that they would continue meeting with them throughout the school year and through the years that they are there. May this be a time that plants them in the kingdom of God. We're believing for souls to come into your kingdom. We're believing for your hand to be upon all of those that are ministering there and for your Holy Spirit to be preparing the way for a great harvest, oh God. Thank you for your goodness working through those young people that are giving their spring break time to serve your kingdom in this manner. We thank you for your ministry through them, O God. And we give you praise for those that will come into the kingdom because of this word. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. We so appreciated the life that Joshua lived out while he was with us before he left for college. He served the church in so many different ways, but faithfully was here just about every time the doors were opened. And I know he's a gift to his family as well. Tonight in Genesis chapter 28, we're going to take two pieces of the puzzle in a man's life, and we're going to put them together. You're going to hopefully leave here and see how they fit. Now, let me tell you that just because we're going to talk about a man by the name of Jacob, it's not a message just for men. I think each and every one of us, whether we be a man or a woman, there is some Jacob in us. There is some things in us that God is still working on and some things that God is still working out. And in a few moments, we'll talk about what Jacob's name meant to Jacob. We'll talk about it from Scripture and what it represented. And when we get there, you'll recognize there may be some of that in you. So this is not guys' night only. It's for the girls too. And beginning in Genesis chapter 28, about verse 10, it says this about our guy. It says that Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and he lay down to sleep. So we see here that he's on a journey, he's on a walk. Many of us are here tonight and we can relate to the fact that we're on a journey. Our faith is on a walk. And like Jacob, we've arrived at a place. And tonight in this place, I think our worship team has done a phenomenal job helping each of us to sense and feel and be a part of God's presence in this place. God's presence in a place can change the person in it and the place altogether. And let's see in verse 12, how God visits this place. It says that he had a dream. This man, Jacob, had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. There above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. For I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. I think too often the enemy works overtime in helping us not recognize the potential and the power in a place. The Bible says in Matthew 18 and verse 20, where two or more are gathered together in his name, there shall he be in the midst of them. Tonight we have gathered in his name. It only took a couple of us. And it's in this gathering, it's in this place that he stands in the midst of us. And I think he invites us to experience him in the way that he visited Jacob. Notice when Jacob finally kind of woke up and realized where he was, he realized that God was where he was. And he wasn't even aware of it. He was afraid and he said, man, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Oh, if each of us came to church every time we gathered with that same passion, with that same priority on this place, it would be more than just a room filled with chairs. It would be a building filled with the glory and the power of God, because God reserves the right to allow himself to be revealed in a place and to a person. And so now let's take another piece of Jacob's life, another piece of your life that may look a lot like his, and let's put them together. Let's go now to Genesis 32. Four chapters later, we're going to visit Jacob in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 22. So in Genesis 32 and verse 22, it says, that night Jacob got up and he took his two wives. How many of you are disturbed already? That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, but how many of you are feeling better now, and his 11 sons. Now we're kind of on the other end of the sandwich and don't feel good again. 11 boys. Tiffany's got two boys. And we get to watch her try to corral those two boys. Those are good boys. But those boys are not girls. I have learned from raising two girls that boys and girls are not in the same equation. How many of you would raise a hand and say, I know what you're talking about, preacher. This boy and his wives didn't stop at two sons. They had how many? 11. So how many wives does he have? How many servants does he have? How many sons does he have? So I'm guessing as a result of all those numbers, he is a man of prayer. So verse 22 says that he crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. And so Jacob, this man, tonight it could be this woman, was left alone. And a man, an angel, wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket. There's no way to recover. You just say what you said. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob. How many of you know that really was the New International Version I just read from? Okay, so we're there at Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Don't add to what I'm already messing up. Then the man said, let me go, for it's daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? And Jacob answered, he answered. I'm kind of messed up. I'm trying to get back in my groove. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob. Now, it's important for us to pause because we put the pieces of his life together and they fit a lot like many of ours tonight, whether we be a man or a woman. Jacob's name The name Jacob refers to his natural seed, and it's referred to over 150 times in the Bible. And in the Bible, Jacob's name means, it symbolizes, and it stands for heel catcher, supplanter, cheater, deceiver. By virtue of the fact that all of us still have a human nature, and we're not in heaven yet, we're not completely holy yet, each of us have some things in common with Jacob and his name. There is quite potentially a part of you, a piece of you, that tends to respond as a heel catcher, a supplanter, a cheater, and a deceiver. And so after this visitation, after this wrestling match, this angel says, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God. Any of you ever struggle in your walk with God? Any of you ever have a struggle on and in your journey with God? Well, Jacob did. Now watch what God does in his struggle. Because you have struggled with God and with humans. Some of us are here tonight and our prayers are birthed in tears because our tears come from places of pain because we're in the middle of our struggle, and our struggle is not just with God, though it be with God. We're wrestling over the God factor in our life and maybe sometimes what God wants. And sometimes God wants to remain silent on something, but that doesn't mean we don't wrestle Him for what we can only know from Him. I found that sometimes things from God are on a need-to-know basis. I need, He knows, and He's not telling. He's not talking. And that silence teaches me a lot if I'll let it. But in this case, as in our case, God in His grace, which is sufficient, speaks and says, you know what? Your name's not going to be that any longer. But your name is going to be Israel because you've struggled with both me and with humans. And you have now overcome. Now, all Jacob did was wrestle through the night. One writer says this about Jacob, that it wasn't just his physical strength that we're talking about. It was his will. Jacob had a strong will. And if you had 11 boys in your house, two wives and two servants, you would need a will of steel. But see, it was his will. And it was the way of his will that got him in trouble with God's will. Let me say that again. It was Jacob's will and the way of his will that got in the way of God's way and God's will. I told you, whether you be a male or a female, there's some Jacob in you. And you and Jacob have some things in common. And it's not just that you're on a walk by faith. It's not just because you're on a spiritual journey. It's because you have a will and you have a way. And sometimes that will seeks to deceive God and seeks to deceive others. And one thing about this we've learned is that we have an ability to lie to not only God and to others, but we have an ability to lie to ourselves and say it's not really that bad. It's not really affecting anything or anyone, just me. It's just my way. It's just my will. I'm not even Irish and I have a bad temper. So here we go. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he honored Jacob, and Jacob asked for a blessing. And he said here in Scripture that the man blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So tonight, if I was to give a title of my teaching, I would entitle it this: if I just would have known, I might have asked for more. If I just would have known, I might have asked for more. If I just would have known that God was in this place. If I just would have known that I was in the place that possessed the gate of heaven. If I just would have known that the windows of God, the doorways of God were open, I might have asked for more. If I just would have known God was in my struggle, if I just would have known that God was in the midst of my wrestling. If I just would have known that if I released my will and said, your will be done on my earth as it is in heaven, if I just would have known, I might have asked for more. Now, I know we have trumpeted and praised Jacob's request to be blessed, and rightfully so. But you mean to tell me, if you knew you were in the house of God, if you knew that the gate of heaven was open, if you knew God was going to change your name, if God was going to change your nature, if you just knew that you were going to possess that promised land you have the potential for, you mean to tell me you would only stop at asking God to bless me? I would have asked for more, a whole lot more. I wonder if times we come to church and we look at the Jacob in us, we see that we're unworthy. And we don't realize that it's his worthiness that makes us worthy. And so we base our prayers, we base our feelings, we base our hope, we base our circumstances on the Jacob in us and not the Israel God is bringing out of us. The place of God in this story was right in the middle of the place of his struggle. Again, Jacob struggled with God and he struggled with others. And we learn here that there's tremendous power in the place of your struggle. Have you ever heard someone be referred to as someone that has a lot of potential? I remember being a young man growing up in junior high and high school, and I would hear teachers tell me often, you have a lot of potential. You can go a long way in life. You've got a lot of potential. That's really good when you're in your teenage years, but if that's what they're saying about you in your 50s, I'm not so sure that's a compliment anymore. See, because the time you arrive in your 50s, it should be more than potential, it should be a pattern. It should be a pattern that points to the character of God that says, you know what? Jacob and his will, Jacob and his way was broken in me a long time ago. And the things I used to struggle over in the Jacob season in my life are now behind me. The struggle that is before me is not by my own choosing and my own doing. Well, I just lost you. I'm not living in what I could become, potentially. I have become that, and I'm living out a pattern that everywhere I go, I break generational curses, I break cycles, and I bring patterns to humanity of sanity. Some of you are thinking, he's never rhymed humanity and sanity before. See, we live like Jacob, but expect the perks, the privileges, the power, and the promises of Israel. And we come to church and we've lived crazy all week long. We've made the same old bad choices over and over again, and we have the audacity to take the house of God, where he is awesome in this place, where he radically does more in a moment than we could in a millennium, and we have the audacity to blame him for our crazy pattern. And we play the game with God. It's a spiritual game now that says, Red Rover, send cray cray right over. God, come and bless my cray cray. Oh, come and bless my cray cray. Bless my marriage that's cray cray. Bless my husband that's cray cray. Bless my choices that are cray cray. I haven't prayed this week, God, but I felt sorry for myself, so bless my pity. He blesses prayer, not pity. And somewhere, you and I have to recognize it's not enough to always talk about someday I'm going to fulfill my potential. You need to understand that you serve a God that reserves the right that while you were sleeping, he will show up, and while you're sleeping, he will stop the weeping and move you into a season of reaping. Some of us, he can't get us to slow down long enough, to stop talking long enough for him to get a word, his word in. This is a spring break special, so you're going to get what you're going to get tonight. But here's why Jacob's story was different. In the place of his struggle, he got up. So Jacob, let's talk about Jacob and what he represents. Jacob had potential, but not in his old way. His old way of doing things, his old way of looking at things, his old way of processing things, his old way of expecting things. Jacob represents an old system, an old wineskin, an old way. And so God, in order to release him to fulfill his potential, God had to break down and break off that old system. Because it was not only time for him to get up and feel better, it was time for him to get over and just now do better. Sometimes we come to church and we just want a B12 shot. Oh, God, I just want to feel better. I don't really want to go home and get better. Thank you. It's what you get on spring break. I'm doing the best I can. Give her a Gold Club membership right now. See, it came time in Jacob's life, just like it's going to come time in your life, where it's time to fight what you've not been willing to face. Okay? Next point. That required him, and that requires us, to face sometimes the things we fear the most. Ourselves. Scripture's pretty clear. It says that he was alone. And being alone meant that Jacob had to come face to face with his pain, his past, his excuses, his failure, his sin, and his version of God. It was more than this just goosebumps at church of a physical feeling. It was a spiritual repositioning. Can I tell you, coming to God and being left in his presence alone comes with a fight. And most of us don't want to have to fight that fight. We like to bind the devil. We like to say the devil is a liar. And the Lord is standing there, you're right, you are the devil. And we're going to get him out of you. Okay? Some of you are like, finally, you're talking about my spouse. So he wrestled. Jacob wrestled. Just like many of you right now, the Holy Spirit has created a wrestling match on the inside of you, and you feel like you wish I would quit looking at you and quit talking to you. And you cannot wait till 8 o'clock because you're done at 8. I might not be finished, but you're done. He wrestled. He wrestled God for the things that he continued to wrestle with. And sometimes, friend, God wants us to stop wrestling with certain things. The wrestling was over what kept him from resting. I believe Jacob wrestled at the very least with these things. See if they sound familiar with some of the things that we wrestle with. He wrestled with broken relationships. He wrestled with deception. He wrestled with unforgiveness. And bitterness, and anger, and inferiority, and blaming, and criticizing, and insecurity, and hopelessness. And all of that was his way of wrestling for his place and his purpose in life. Some of us have been hurt in previous places. When we drive by those places, it's like a gear, a metal gear, and it's in our gut. We drive by that place, and it starts turning, and we start thinking about who hurt us in that place. What was said to us in that place? Can I tell you, for some, it's as fresh today, 20 years removed from when that hurt took place in that place, as it was when it first happened. Did I lose you? You'll feel that gear start turning, and it eats away at your place. It eats away at your purpose when you even hear a person's name brought up in a conversation. And all that wrestling is for your place and your purpose in life. But it's the wrestling that repositioned Jacob, and it's the wrestling that will reposition you. Now, this new position was necessary because in order to have new endings, you must have new beginnings. And so God visited Jacob, hit the reset button, and said, Jacob, if you'll walk this out when you wake up, you're going to have a new ending because you've got a new beginning. Instead of living all your life talking about your potential, you're going to fulfill your potential and move into yes and amen instead of yes and oh me. Yes, and oh my. This new position is one that all of us can take. But can I tell you, it comes with a cost. Because in Jacob's life, we see it came with brokenness. Some of us are too strong to be Israel, and yet too weak to keep being Jacob. And so we're caught in the middle, and we're just stuck. I want to throw two terms at you before I close. And the terms are deep, so get ready. Stuck and unstuck. Let's see if anybody caught those deep terms. I'm, and I'm looking to get, two deep terms. I think we get stuck in life. I think Jacob was stuck. I think he wanted to be more. I think he wanted to do more, but I think he was stuck in all the things he was wrestling with. He was stuck in broken relationships. He was stuck in deception. He was stuck in unforgiveness. He was stuck in inferiority. He was stuck in insecurity. He was stuck in hopelessness. He was stuck in bitterness. He was just... It's not unusual for each and every one of us to come to a place in life and be... So how do you get unstuck? How do you get unstuck? Got to be repositioned. Thank you. I guess we've arrived at our studio participation part, so chime in. Prayer? Surrendering? Forgiveness? Repentance? These are all good things. These are all right answers. What might unstick you might not be the same thing required to unstick me. But I think it begins when we have this come to Jesus meeting, and Jesus gets to come to the meeting. Now, can I tell you one of the ways that God continues to unstick me in my own life is I don't leave it all up to God. I'm trusting in God with all my understanding. But you know, sometimes I get stuck in what I understand. I get stuck in what I see. And it's like driving a car that has a blind spot. And you don't even see the car in traffic next to you until you change lanes and they start honking. I don't want to spend my whole life making decisions that hurt people and not realize that it hurts people until I change lanes and there's casualties. So one of the most powerful ways to get what? Unstuck is to let God lead you to someone who is spiritually strong in the Lord, who's rooted and grounded in God's love and God's grace. And ask them, what do you think? What do you see about my life, my pattern? What do you see about my potential and why it's not coming to pass? Now, hold on, because that is not for the weak. Because if you're not ready for the come to Jesus meeting and give Jesus a chance to talk through someone who's strong and secure in the Lord and mature in his loving grace and mercy, then you'll add to all the other things that caused you to get stuck, a spirit of offense. And man, we are breeders of offense. You can't get on social media without causing offense. But can I tell you, there are some things that God indeed does change when you pray. They do. I think this visitation was as a result of prayer. But you know, sometimes God answers prayer in not so mysterious ways. Sometimes he just allows your feet to do the walking. Remember the yellow phone book? The yellow pages. What were we supposed to do? Yeah, let your fingers do the walking and call a friend and ask them, what do you see? And then brace yourself because get ready, your flesh, your Jacob, we all have some, doesn't want to hear what they're about to say, but needs to hear because it draws Israel out of the Jacob. Are you breathing? Ask them, what do you see? Well, I see that you're bitter. I see that you blame everyone else. I see that you have unhealthy expectations. I see that you're a mean girl. How many of you are up for that assignment? I've tried this with our staff. It doesn't work because they're not at the plane of greatness that I am, so they can't understand. And pride. Sometimes people get stuck on pride. I heard y'all think that. I could feel it. I close tonight. But I don't think you're finished. God reserves the right to unstick us because it's a testimony of his will. It's a testimony of his way. And it's a testimony that his word, it works. I don't want to be trapped in the Old Testament of my life, my whole life. I want there to be a New Testament where Jesus shows up. Amen. You can know Jesus and yet not really see him show up a whole lot in the New Testament of your life. Because here's what a lot of Christians do. Hey, Jesus, sit this one out. I got it. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. I raise these kids on my own until I can't. And then they're going to be like that. But I got it. So I leave you tonight thinking about what is the power in your name? That's what the angel of God, that's what the presence of God, that's what the power of God asked Jacob to unstick him. What is your name? Because see, Jacob bore the image and the nature of his name. And his name brought him great pain as it reminded him of his past, that he had struggled with God and with others. And his name confined him and defined him. But see, God was in the middle of unsticking him, and God was not only going to just change his name, but he was going to change his nature. Because God knew that as long as his name brought that much pain to Jacob, that it would be a prison to Jacob. Jacob, in this moment of being unstuck by God, looked at the place he was, Peniel, and he said, I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. I think Jacob would say, had I known God was in this place, the place of my pain, the place of my struggle, the place of my suffering, the place of my past, the place of my iniquity, the place of my sin, I might have asked for more than just a blessing. What about you? Are you just asking God for little things, not realizing the power in your place, the power in your struggle, the power in your pain? That's where God is. He realizes your struggle. He realizes your pain. And he has the audacity and the ability to show up with authority in your place, wake you up, and carry you out of there, unstuck. So who's in? What would happen in this church if just this small group moved from the Jacob in their life to now they are released as Israel, and they prevail, and they overcome, and they conquer the struggle with God and the struggle with others? Heavenly Father, we add our lives to the prayer list tonight. You know our name, and you know our nature. And you know the things that we struggle with tonight. And so tonight, from your word, we choose to see that you are in this place, that we have a chance in this place to sit with your grace face to face. Your grace can right now erase the pain of our struggle. So God, we ask you for your grace to erase the struggle that Jacob has caused. Forgive me, God, for my part. With your grace, unstick me. I'm stuck. Our marriage is stuck. Our finances are stuck. My heart is stuck. My hopes, my dreams, my vision, it's all stuck. So God, with your grace, just begin to erase the pain and the struggle in my place. Now, God, with your grace, replace my name with Israel. Just go ahead and replace it. While we're at it, just replace it. Look at it like a tire. A guy comes out and says, you can patch it or just replace it. Look at it that God's got all the money, so to speak. God's got the ability. God has the currency to replace the tire. Don't just patch your tire, which means don't just patch your heart. Don't just patch your place, but now just ask God to replace. Just replace it. Replace the condemnation and shame with peace, with joy, with hope, with strength. Replace the unforgiveness with mercy and grace. Just replace it, Lord, because if I had just known, I might have asked for more. And together, everybody said, would you just put your hands together and celebrate the grace of God? The grace to erase the grace to replace. Some people are going home unstuck. Some of you are going home stuck in the mud. God bless you. Have a great night.
This concludes the message. For prayer or more information, email prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call 281-554-3600. Thank you for listening.